listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across Lakey. Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
It's not often much personal poo goss gets on the show, but this was just too stinky to keep to myself. You'll hear about my big poopy surprise post-holiday. In the podcast, we talked about the woman who hated sweat but thought that it would be great to get involved in the personal training industry. We also spoke about another lady who thought she was having a kidney stone but turned out she was having a kid instead. Let's kick it off, though, with chips. Loose chips? Sink chips? Melbourne cafe sued for $141,000 after woman claims she slipped on a hot chip at lunch. Yeah, Roxanne Britton claims she skidded on the errant chip at Zuki Cafe in Clayton on January 30, 2015. Okay, history chips, according to a statement of a claim lodged into the Victorian County Court. The 59-year-old says she suffered lower back injuries from the fall, including two prolapsed discs and pain in her leg, foot and knee. Miss Britton also suffered depression, anxiety and surgical scarring as a result of the incident, the claim says. Well, it went from zero to 100 real quick. One slippery chip, a slippery Roxanne Britton, and all of a sudden you've got a real big legal battle on your hands. The claim was lodged by WorkSafe, which has paid compensation to Ms. Britton, who's seeking recovery of the funds now. $141,000 from the party it alleges is responsible for the injury. Who is responsible, I hear you ask? Well, it's also claimed the cafe failed to properly manage foot traffic, giving customers a safe entry and exit point. Or that's Cafe 101, isn't it? Make sure you have a safe entry and a smooth exit. The cafe's denied the claims, like all great cafes should, by the way. And I'm going to move this legal case to one side because it can be very dangerous to talk about proceedings. But all this aside, any cafe who just cops that on the chin and says, yeah, no, I thought you're right. Yeah, we did drop a chip in a place that is renowned for serving so many chips that one's bound to be dropped. And unfortunately, yeah, we'll wear that on the chin. I don't think so. Worst cafe owner ever, if that's the case. For me, I hear slippery chip and I think, well, sign of a great chip, isn't it? This is a chip that has clearly passed the crush test. It was hard on the outside. I'm assuming beer battered. And then once someone has stepped on the chip, it's done what a chip should and just almost chip into a couple of pieces. The soft, fluffy white potato filling on the inside has provided a lubed surface for probably a soft marble flooring. Unfortunately, that's where Miss Britton has met her demise. And although a couple of prolapsed discs is never good, I am happy that the Zuki Cafe is serving top-notch quality slippery chips that are a health hazard for all walking past. Begs the question on 133353. Who does the best chips?
Chip, chip, you tell a little lie. Chip, chip, you make your baby cry.
Because I'm a chip man from way back. Hot chips is my go. And that's why I've spent the majority of my day drawing out what I like to call the four-way chip algorithm or the deep-fried quadrant. You've probably got four different types of chips when battling for the best chip out there in the land. In the first quadrant, of course, you've got the cafe and pub chips, don't you? Beer battered often, seldom thin. These are a thicker cut of chip. 133353, what's the best chip? Is it down at your local pub? Do you know somewhere that serves a real good hot chip? We move to the second quadrant. This is the area for fish and chip shop chips, the Frymasters. And the reason these guys can do such great chips is because they've really cornered the market in terms of seasonings. I'm talking the best chicken salt goes to the fish and chip shops, the best sea salts, and the tartest of vinegars. You've got a lot of different methods at play. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Fish and chips make me want to lick my lips. Some of my favourite chips are at fish and chip shops. You then move down to the next quadrant, the fast food chips. Now, this can be a KFC game, a Red Rooster game. In my opinion, they probably dropped their game over the last couple of years. I feel few and far between. Sometimes you get soggy, sometimes you get crispy. It's a less consistent chip. And KFC and Red Rooster have been focusing more on the Kentucky Fried Chicken and the Red Roosters. You move into a Macca's Thin Fry. Does that do the best chip? Are you a thin fry man? 133353, who does the best chips? Hungry Jack's is an interesting one because that moves almost from fast food into boutique fast food with the introduction of their new country-style thick-cut chip. that's bound to create some confusion within the market. And of course, the last quadrant, as I said, the boutique fast food, we're talking grilled with the rosemary and sea salt combinations. We're talking a Porto's with their Bondi seasoning. My favourite of all the chips, though, 133353, what's your favourite chip? It's got to be the schnitz for me, with a sweet dose of paprika. Chip, chip. Papa paprika.
A little lie.
Coming and stealing my heart. And I must admit, schnitz came from nowhere. A year ago, never heard of the franchise.
A little bit.
But there's something about the schnitz chip that really gets me excited. But what's your favourite chip? Ronnie, in Queensland, kicking it off tonight. The chip aficionado. You have scoured all this land for great quality chips. Where's your pick?
Danny, I've gone everywhere, and the best chips are in Canberra, or just the outside of Canberra there. Kingsley's Chicken.
Kingsley's Chicken. Okay, just write it down there. Now, call me a dreamer, but usually chicken-based shops that serve chips are usually in the chicken salt game. Is this a Kingsley special? What seasoning are we talking with the Kingsley chips just outside of Canberra?
No, they're not really the seasoning, just salt, but they're a crinkle-cut chip.
Whoa. Okay.
And they're done in a cottonseed oil.
Wow. Now, two things that I didn't even consider, the cut of chip and the oil. Cottonseed. This is an oil I've never heard of before. This is all above board, is it? This isn't illegal oil.
It is. Yeah, I used to work for a place that delivered to Kingsley's.
Wow, goodness me.
And we prepare all their stuff, and it was the cottonseed oil in 20-litre drums, best oil to cook the crinkle-cut chips.
Well, and I'll have to stop you there because I'm getting too excited, and this could easily just fall into what is the best oil in the country rather than what is the best chip. As we move to Jenny in Glenorchy, Tasmania, cold climate, hot chips, two of your favourite things.
Yes, Danny. I love the chips from Kentucky.
Wow, the Colonel's
fried
gold.
Chicken, yes. Okay. They back in the day, they did the long shoestring chips.
Okay.
In the, I think it was in chicken salt, and they were delicious.
Hang on a second. Oh, back it, lovely back, back and crispy. It up. Back it up like a Tonka truck, sweet Jen. Thin shoestring fries, chicken salt. This was a Colonel's game.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, I may as well just play Gene McDaniel's Chip Chip again.
Chip, chip, you tell a little lie.
Chris in Peakhurst, good evening to you.
How are you, Dan?
I'm learning a lot of things. I'm learning about cottonseed oil, and I'm learning about the Colonel doing shoestring fries with chicken salt back in the day. What more do you have to add to the conversation?
Well, cottonseed oil is very common for cooking chips, but the best chip, I think, is McDonald's.
Whoa, big call from you. So as I go right back down to my third quadrant here with the Macca's thin fries, you struggle with a thicker cut?
No. I just like them. They're consistent, and you know exactly what you're going to get.
I will give you that. They are consistent. Always slightly cold, slightly stale. I'm just joking. I'm just
joking. you're being harsh there.
I'll bet a few bars. It's a corporate conglomerate. You see, I can get away with that one. Michael in New South Wales, wrap this up. 133353, much like a chippy, wraps up $2 worth of chips with chicken salt and vinegar. What's your fave chip?
Mum makes the best chips.
All right. There's always one. No, there's always
I'll tell you what. She peels the potatoes. She's got the old chip cutter.
Wow.
She cooks them in lard. While she's cooking them, she puts paper on the table. She puts vinegar on the chips, wraps them up, and we eat them out of the bag, man.
I love
that. You can't beat it.
Nah,
I'm telling you now, man, you can't beat it.
Right, well, I'll hold you to it. There is something in that, actually. A mother cooking chips for her fully grown adult sons and still wrapping them up like a fish and chip shop, even though they're just being served right on the table.
I'm not fully grown yet.
I think you are.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.
Woman thought she was passing a kidney stone in the toilet, but she was actually having a baby.
Is that funny, Petit Fleur?
Petit Fleur, why must you always laugh at people's predicaments? It's an easy mistake to make. They say very similar in pain threshold for all those men who have given birth to a kidney stone and all those women who have given birth to children over the years. They usually get together and respectfully agree with each other that they're probably the same amount of pain. That's usually what happens. Melissa Surgikoff of Massachusetts was having a routine day on the 8th of March. Just your everyday Surgikoff special. on the 8th of March until she started experiencing intense stomach cramps and pain. At first, her partner, Donnie Campbell, oh, the Don's in town, thought she may have been passing a kidney stone and called 911 for help. But it wasn't a kidney stone or regular stomach cramp. Melissa said the only relief she would get was when she sat on the toilet seat. After a while, she couldn't sit still anymore and started screaming out loud in pain. At that time, she felt something rush out of her. I look in the toilet and I still didn't know what it was. I thought basically I'd lost an organ because I didn't know, she said. Turns out Melissa was pregnant and had given birth to her baby on the toilet. Seems like most days there's a story where someone didn't realise they were pregnant until it's way too late. I mean, to still even get to the point where you give birth in the toilet and A1 is still, oh, I've just shat out my kidney. It baffles me. Melissa was in a state of shock because she'd absolutely no clue that she was pregnant. Her nine-month term went unnoticed as she barely had a visible bump in her belly. But despite no prenatal care, the newborn was healthy, just had to spend one night in hospital before being discharged. Amazing story. And it sucks when you think you're passing a kidney stone, it turns out to be a baby. There's only one thing worse. When you think you're passing a baby, but it turns out to be a kidney stone.
Right, honey, you're doing so well. Just keep squeezing my hand.
It hurts too much. I can't do this.
No, you're doing great, honey. You're doing great. Nurse, we've changed our mind. We'd like an epidural.
Sorry, sir. Not enough time. Okay, Miriam, you're doing really well, okay? It's almost time to push, all right? On my count, after three. One, two, three. Push.
What?
Okay, well done, Miriam. All done. If you want to put your pants back on and you'll both be right to go.
Personal trainer afraid of sweat wins workers' claim.
That's quite funny, quite humorous.
Yeah, true, Jimmy Kamopoulos. If you didn't laugh, you'd cry. The gym instructor who has a fear of bodily fluids has won a workers' claim after she refused to pick up members' sweaty towels. Ali Burton, 27 of the UK, told managers at the gym that contact with bodily fluids could start panic attacks and emotional upset. But within weeks of starting, her boss asked her to pick up the sweaty towels from the gym floor. Shit job at the gym, but it has to be done from time to time. She told him, it's a natural condition. I don't want you to think I'm being selective. It's a real thing. I believe Ali Burton. Well, no one's saying, hey, we don't believe that you're getting emotionally upset after having to dabble in the pickup of sweaty gym towels. But there comes a certain point where, unfortunately, if you allow these sorts of cracks to slip through in workplaces, you'll find a Qantas pilot making an in-air announcement. Go, oh, sorry, I've got a fear of flying. I don't think I can quite do this. It's a very slippery slope. You have to pick the job based on your strengths and not your emotional upsets. Her roster was adapted to take her condition into account. Oh, nice. But Miss Burton told an employment tribunal that bosses continued to quiz her, so she filed a complaint. Just imagine some big gym junkie manager being there way too long. You're right, I'll take you off towels, but why am I taking you off towels again? Please explain that. The manager handling her complaint concluded that Miss Burton was hostile and impossible to work with, but a tribunal judge ruled she was the victim and should be paid compensation to be decided at a later date. Yeah, $20 max, I reckon. There's actually quite a lot of people who are pretty bad at their jobs.
After meeting Ali Burton, the 27-year-old personal trainer who's afraid of sweat.
Okay, just jump on the treadmill for a warm-up. Okay, yep, and now just jump off the treadmill because I don't want you to break a sweat.
It's time to meet other people who are completely shit at their job. Meet Gideon, the 27-year-old barista with a milk allergy.
I only make soy lattes and long blacks.
Meet Jackie, the 54-year-old nurse who's afraid of blood.
Oh, yep, here's the needle. Could you just jab yourself just there in the arm?
Just here?
Yeah, just up a little. Ew, yep, ew, that's it.
Meet Gary, the 62-year-old welding operator who's petrified of loud noises and sparks.
Yeah, Leon, can you just help me with this for a second, mate?
What, the welding again?
Yeah, I'm just going to nip outside quickly. If you could just do this for me, mate, that'd be great. Thank you.
Meet Mark Healy, the 39-year-old football commentator with a fear of public speaking.
Smith has the ball, passes to already Jones, kicks, goal. It's a goal.
And meet Dr. Hensel, the 44-year-old brain surgeon who's constantly shivering.
We just turn up the heating, just a little bit in here.
Doctor, we're in theatre. It needs to be this temperature for safety reasons.
All right, if you insist.
Obviously, this is the second night back of the show after a sneaky Easter break. And a well-earned sneaky Easter break deserves a well-earned sneaky holiday for moi. I decided to head up to Queensland for a couple of days, see a couple of friends, do a couple of open mic comedy gigs, nothing massive. And before I left, obviously, you're packing all your stuff. You're aware that you're going to go for 5 or 6 days. So although you know you'll be back to stuff, you want to make sure that you leave your area in a nice setting. And I was packing my bags up and all that and just, oh, any last bits? Make sure, yeah, everything's tidy. All right, close the bedroom door behind me. I live in a 4-bedroom share house, right? But that's my area. I got the big room, the big room, the big ensuite and the walk-in robe and the big balcony. Never did I think the big ensuite would be my downfall on my personal holiday. Went away to Queensland, 6 days, living my best life, getting a nice little suntan at the artificial beach there in Brisbane. Love a good artificial beach and a real tan. Come back 6 days later. Oh, good to be back home. And on the plane, you arrive late at night, so catch an Uber, 10:55 p.m, back to your house. There's a certain bit of comfort about that. They go, oh, I'll be back home, sleep in my own bed. Oh, put my dirty clothes in the wash. Yeah, get back to normal life. Oh, yeah, well rested, well tested, living my bested. And looking forward to getting home, having a nice sleep. And I come home. Everyone else is asleep. 3 roommates asleep. It's about 11:30 at this stage. I'm feeling pretty tired. Looking forward to just dropping my bags on the floor, getting under the covers, having a nice sleep back in my own bed. I open my bedroom door and I get one of the most acrid, pungent smells that have ever entered my nostrils. I think, what on earth has gone on here? Have my roommates played a prank on me? They got some sort of fart bomb going on? I think, what is that heinous, heinous smell? And much like Hansel and Gretel finding their way back to the gingerbread house, I was following my nose, trying to get to the source of the problem. My eyes immediately turned directly to the ensuite. Now, I've got a sliding door on the ensuite. The ensuite sliding door was not slid closed, it was slid open. I've entered my ensuite. I've looked into my creamy white porcelain bowl. And unfortunately, with all the hullabaloo of the 10:25 a.m. Jetstar flight 6 days prior, I've clearly made my morning movement of a number two and forgotten to flush. Revolting, foul. I have never seen a colour so black in all my life. It was toilet paper that had become waterlogged. It was creeping up the sides of the bowl. It was like a brown flubber, to be honest, taking on a life of its own. I didn't realise smell could get stuck in walls, but it certainly did. And it really took the edge off my homecoming with my whole bedroom walk-in robe and even balcony stinking of six-day-old shit. Unfortunate for me that I came home to a big surprise. And usually surprises are good, but you don't want a surprise that big. That was too big of a surprise. And I'd love to know, to make myself feel a little bit better, did you come home to a big surprise?
It's time to tell Aggie, when did you come home to a big surprise?
No! Nothing takes the gloss off the first night back in your own bed than inhaling brown poo fumes all night. Because even though you flush, one flush doesn't beat 6 days. That's just not how physics works. Still getting the smell out of me carpet. 133353. Did you come home to a big surprise? Now, I'm not talking just sewage-based surprises, but more than welcome. 133353. I'm talking maybe leaks, talking minor damages, major damages. Look, if you want to come, there was some sort of big trash, big robbery going on, sure, bring the mood down, by all means. It can't get much lower than my poo story anyway. Did the dogs do some damage? They get a little excited when they're away. Did you forget to turn the oven off? Did you leave your kid, Macaulay Culkin's mum? 133353, did you come home to a big surprise? There's nothing worse, nothing that takes the gloss off after a holiday. Oh yeah, back to normalcy. No, not yet, mate. Time to smell your work for a couple of days. When did you come home to a big surprise? Trent. You've come home to a big surprise? Trent?
No.
Yeah, surprise. What'd you come home to?
Oh, mate, we went to Bali for our 10th anniversary.
Nice, cute.
Yep, and I thought, oh, mate, I can't go a week away without filling the pool up because it will run a bit low. So I put the hose in.
Sure.
3 days in, realised, shit, left the hose on, sorry, and rung the house sitter. And she said, no, about midnight last night, the neighbour come knocking on the door and they had a plumber in because there was water going everywhere in their yard. And we've got a major break in our pipes, so he shut our water off.
Oh, dearie me. So in the problem solved eventually.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering about the qualifications of the plumber, mate. He could not look in the backyard and see, oh, there's a hose in the pool, that's on. That's the problem, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about the pipe game, you see. My pipe knowledge goes as far as those Windows 95 screensavers when you haven't moved your mouse for 20 minutes, seeing those pipes join up. Now, one would argue that it actually hurts more that you've remembered this on your holiday and found out about it. You could mount an argument it would have been better to be blissfully unaware and come back to total disaster 10 days later.
Yeah, that's true. No, very happy with that. I'm just, well, the house sitter wasn't happy that she didn't have water for 7 days.
No.
She didn't know how to turn it back on.
No. So. Poor house sitter. I'm just trying to keep the glass around the pool half full. Keith. In Queensland. Hello?
Yeah, good. Hello, how are you going?
Well, just talking about the tragic mistakes of forgetting to turn your hose off pre-Bali holiday and forgetting to flush the toilet pre-Queensland. What happened to you?
All right, so my sister and husband went on a month-long trip to Europe. They had a kitchen upstairs, bedrooms downstairs, and a fridge that's plumbed in with ice and water.
Oh, yeah.
So something happened with the water connection, and they came home to the entire downstairs ceiling collapsed. Oh. And three inches of mold on everything. Clothes, beds, carpets, it was horrendous.
Oh, okay. And that's why I don't have one of those ice brewing fridges. Never trusted an ice brewing fridge. What's wrong with just having the 12-pack in the freezer? Don't need this all add-on. This is what happens. Your roof caves in after a one-month holiday. Good story. Sucks for them. Pete in Tassie.
How you going, mate?
Good, thank you. You walked in on a big surprise?
It wasn't me, it was my cousin.
Nice.
He went away with his wife for a couple of days, and his dogs came and gone through a doggy door. He had two big, massive Samoyeds. Somebody was obviously looking after him for him. Anyway, he went away for about 3 days, I think it was, and when he came home, he's in his shorts, he's walked into the building. His male Samoyed got so excited at seeing him, he's lunged at him and latched onto his testicles, and one of his testicles got severed.
No, not the severed testy within moments of coming home. I hate that. Now, please, my two weaknesses in life, somersaults and dog breeds. So could you just spell out that dog breed so I can have a visual on that?
A Samoyed, mate. A great big powder white Samoyed.
Samoyed. S-A-M-O-I-D. Oh,
yeah.
O-Y-E-D.
Something like that.
Yeah. Hang on. Oh, yeah, the big white things.
That's them.
God. And the teeth. Look at the incisors on that thing. That doesn't let go. That would have chewed the testy. He would have taken it out and just chewed on it.
Mate, I hope he did because I absolutely hate my cousin.
God. Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, I don't know him, but I like the idea of a Samoyed, almost a mix between a Siberian husky and a chow chow, just chow chowing on his cousin's chow chow. And on that note about the chow chow nibbling on the chow chows, it's probably appropriate for me to say chow for now. Daddy Lakey. Triple M.